There was great praise on this day. Jesus comes to town. Jesus decides to turn toward Jerusalem. Crazy. Would you have? The city that was a light unto the hill, the city that was the capital of God's people, the chosen nation, the city that had borne testimony to the leadership of God through such great kings as David and others. A city that held the promise was going to receive the promise. Welcome to the beginning of Holy Week. Welcome to moments that lead to an hour. And this week, we're going to be talking about the hour has come. And Jesus, he started his ministry. How many of y'all remember in the Gospel of John, Jesus started his ministry at a wedding reception? Pastor Jim, I always thought it was curious to me that Jesus didn't go to the wedding, but he did go to the reception. You know, I think that's a better plan sometimes. And Jesus is at this reception, in typical, if you've ever been to a Jewish wedding, how many of y'all, any of y'all have any Jewish friends? I know why God chose the Jews, because they celebrate. They really celebrate. I mean, it's a celebration. You have the festival, and even in the religious system, you have religious holiday, and you pause and you celebrate. And I would propose to you that we didn't bring enough of that across in some of our Christianity. You all understand that we're birthed from the Jews. Jesus was not European. He was Jewish. From the promise of Abraham comes the promise of Jesus. That makes sense? God never breaks a promise. And that means that there's all kinds of moments. And Jesus at this wedding moment, he starts his ministry at this wedding moment. Big time, you know, the reception's going good. And they run out of wine. Now, yes, I said wine. Now, you need to understand this wasn't a Baptist reception. It was a Jewish reception. They have wine at Jewish receptions. That makes sense? I just want you to know that wasn't a taboo, okay? This is not the southern United States. This is Israel. This is Jerusalem. This is Jewish people. And in fact, we just tasted of the wine, the new covenant. A few years back, several decades ago, a decade or so ago. Wow. That'll put your moments in perspective. I wrote an article about grape juice being the cup of the 20th century evangelicals. And how fitting that was for them. Because they won't drink a cup that changes their attitude. And they'll only drink it if it's sweet. You see, Holy Week is a wine moment. It's bitter sweet. And the thing about the cup, can you imagine? Now here we use grape juice just because we want to make sure that nobody falls off the wagon if they're on it. But can you imagine for a minute, not that any of you have had any experience with this. Elizabeth, can you imagine for a minute, if you were to drink this whole chalice filled with wine, would this change your disposition a little bit?
Yes.
It would. Now, hold on. Jesus tells us to drink the what? Cup, his cup, because when we drink his cup, it will allow us to stay in his hour. In fact, the reason that we started with the celebration of the Eucharist today, the Lord's Supper, is to remind us that guess what? It is the body and the blood of Jesus that allows us to endure the hour. It's pretty neat, isn't it? So Jesus is at this wedding, remember? He's at the wedding, man. They're having a big time. They're doing polka dancing. I mean, it's breaking out. It's happening. It's a wedding. How many of y'all are at least excited about getting married? Now, I've seen the party fall short pretty quick, but at least at the reception, you ought to be happy. You know what I mean? Elizabeth was even happy at the reception. That's why I made it go real short, okay? And there's a party. There's a festival. There's festivity. And they run out of wine. Well, this is an embarrassment to the family. They don't have enough wine. You know, sheriff, take care of the guest. You reckon they had any sheriffs out there on camels checking for, you know, riding under the influence when they got done with the wedding or anything like that? I just wonder. So they're out of wine. And Jesus' mama, if you know any great Jewish mamas, you know, Abraham may have been the patriarch, but Sarah made sure he went the right direction. I'm telling you. There's nothing more beautiful than a Jewish mama, because a Jewish mama gets it done. So here comes Mama Mary. And she kind of comes up to Jesus. Son, they've run out of wine. And Jesus goes, my hour has not yet come. Now, I love the attitude of a mother here. She doesn't look at him and go, oh, really? Your hour has not yet come. If you go read Exodus, she goes like, she looks at the servants and says, do whatever he tells you. And walks off. Why? What is she showing? What is she showing? Faith. Do whatever he tells you. And you remember they fill up the water jars and the servants go fill up with water and they're looking for wine. And Jesus turns the water into what? Can you imagine Jesus doing that in a Baptist church today? Turning the water fountains into wine fountains. Can you imagine the upheaval? Or worse yet, a Church of Christ. You know, the Methodists might go, oh, really? The Episcopalians go, what's the big deal? Okay, but can you imagine? See, we miss Jesus' story because we look for our moments in Jesus' story instead of his. See, really, life is not about our moments. It's about Jesus' moment getting in us. Does that make sense? Well, I want to show you how much we're like. I don't know how many moments we get. We all get a different amount of moments. Would you agree? We all get a different amount of moments. You know, and we kind of psychologically, we break life up like this. We have, you know, your children and then you kind of adolescence. I don't know what that is other than a definition for crazy children. And then you become young adults. And then there's this crazy thing we have called middle age. Now, I don't know how you determine middle age when you don't know the ending point. I've always wondered that. How do you know if you're middle age when you don't know when you're going to check out? So I kind of look at life like this. There are those who have less moments, and there are those who have more moments, and there are those who have a lot of moments. But watch this. We all have the same hour. Isn't that interesting? We don't know how many moments we're going to get. We don't know how many minutes we have. But we all have the same hour. All of us. All of us will meet Jesus. My hour has not yet come. But this week changes everything. Because the hour is coming. The hour is coming when Jesus will meet us in the most horrific human experience known to us. Death. We all die. Have y'all realized that? We all die. Now, some of us live like it ain't never going to happen to us, but guess what? It's going to happen to you. I'll tell you. How many of y'all are older and became older quicker than you thought you were going to? Y'all tracking me here? Like, I look at old men today, and I look at the mirror, and I go, how did that happen? Because I don't picture myself like that. You know, and all of a sudden you go, huh. And all of a sudden I'm in the gym, and I see these young guys, they pick up a lot of weight, and I go over to kind of work with it, and stuff hurts now. When did that happen? It happened because I trailed out some moments. Make sense? You know, like, I'm playing songs that I think are really cool in my truck, and my children go, I've never heard that song. How could you have not heard this song? It's the coolest music that ever existed on the face of the earth. It's from the 70s. Before they were a moment. You see what I'm saying? Y'all got this. We all have moments. We have minutes. But we will all have an hour where we'll meet Jesus. And I just want to wake us up to that in this Holy Week. Listen, we're all going to meet Jesus. Bill Maher's going to meet Jesus. Bill Maher's going to meet Jesus, and he's going to look at Jesus, and he goes, what do you think about my make-believe now? He's going to say, Bill, welcome to the myth, your judge. And I bet even Bill Maher won't be running that smart aleck mouth he's got when he stares Jesus in his eyes. What do you think? There'll be a moment we all go, but I'm going to meet him, and you're going to meet him. And guess what? His hour counts when we meet him. So this week's a serious week. And we got challenges because we got to simply, to activate God's hour in us, then guess what? We got to start doing what he says. Well, he approaches Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. He approaches Jerusalem. He's at the Mount of Olives. I've stood at the Mount of Olives. supposedly at the very place that he stood and looked over. And what is interesting, to go into the Mount of Olives, from the Mount of Olives, you can see the city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. It sets up. And then there is a valley, and then you go back up to Jerusalem. You remember, in the temple, you always going up. You're going up to Zion. But you know what? He had to go to a valley before he was going to be lifted up. Does that make sense to you all? You ever heard this? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, what? Comfort me. Isn't it interesting? I have many different translations I read the Bible out of, but usually when I quote them, I go back to quote them in King James, because that's the way they were drilled into my head in the second grade. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, in the second grade, I had no idea what that meant. Now I know what that means a little bit, because I have been through some valleys. But we will all have a walk from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem. We'll all have that moment where we're going to walk through a valley of the shadow of death. We don't know how long we have, but we know that we'll all meet Jesus in that hour. Now it's interesting. Jesus knows the moments here. Look what they said. As they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples. Now, Jesus is going to tell these two disciples to do what? To go get him a donkey, go get a colt. He said, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say to the Lord needs them, say to them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Now listen to this. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. The moment is approaching the hour. How many of y'all know that that's going to happen to all of us? Our moments will approach what? The hour. You know what I'm delighted about? A lot of you, when the hour comes for you, it will be his hour. Because you've said, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. I believe in you, I receive you, I trust you. And when that hour comes, it'll be his hour. How many of you understand? When your hour comes, you want to be in his hour. Now without his hour, guess what you're on? You're on your own. And see, here's the problem with humanism. It sounds good with humans. It doesn't do so well with God. Here's the problem with intellect only. Intellect is confined to its moment. Do you remember? It used to be intellectual to believe the earth was flat. And if we were enrolled in school back 400 or 500 years ago and we said the earth was flat, Jimmy, what would they say? Well, absolutely. I got some good educators here. If I was to raise my hand in third grade and say, Miss Teacher, it's flat, you would say, that's correct, Stephen. And it was wrong the whole time. But we believed our moment could dictate truth. It's been amazing. I love education because most of education is discovering what you don't know. True. It's not so much what you know, it's discovering what you don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of like that with God. The more I know about God, the more I don't know about God. The more questions I ask, the more questions I have. But guess what? God's hour stays true to the tone of all moments of life. Did you hear that? God's hour stays true in all of our minutes, in all of our moments. Go untie the donkey. I thought about this. Sometimes understanding God's hour is simply doing what he asks you to do. You know, I thought about us. I thought about if we were in the disciples, and I thought about our pastoral staff. If Mark and I had been asked to go untie the donkey, what would we have been talking about along the way? I said, Mark, I guess we just go untie it and get out of there real quick so we don't get caught. Now, Pastor Mark would have been doing this. Do you think they'll take a credit card? Lanny, he'd have gone, what's the BAM team going to say about us going in debt for two donkeys? We hadn't got three bids on these two donkeys yet. They're just donkeys. I mean, in this moment, there's some tension in this moment. It starts, Jesus, go on time and bring them to me. Now, I want you to think, how many of you all this week as we go through Holy Week, it might be a really healthy thing that you need to ask God to untie you from some moments that keep plaguing you. And Sheriff, I don't know, apparently God had prepared these guys long before they got there, but, you know, back in the Western days, somebody steal your horse, that's serious. And I figure back in ancient days, steering donkeys was serious. And then I thought about this, it's a donkey! Have y'all ever been around a donkey? Boy, aren't they cooperative. I mean, it's not like you just go up to a donkey, untie the donkey, and say, come here, little donkey. You know, Charles the donkey. Come on, Charlie, let's go. And you go, come on, donkey. And donkeys just go like this. Do you understand? Donkeys don't follow well. Isn't that interesting? How many of y'all have ever seen a cooperative donkey? Sometimes if I act up, Elizabeth refers to me with donkey mentality. If I'm being stubborn, huh? I got to thinking about this. I know it's a donkey because it fulfills the prophecy, but really, in a real way, a lot of us have donkey mentality sometimes, don't we? We're going to put our feet down. We're going to do it our way. We're not going to follow the lead real well. We're going to buck. How many of y'all have ever stood behind a donkey? They'll kick you. I mean, we had a donkey right out here one Holy Week a few years ago. Jimmy Fuller was being Jesus riding on the back of the donkey. And I was sitting here in worship. We're getting ready to have the triumph and praise. We had palm branches and everything. And Ed Norman was our pastor of praise and worship. And Ed didn't know the difference between a donkey and a mule. And we had something out there in the foyer in between a donkey and a mule. And it was mean. And next thing I know, I'm looking over there. We're getting ready to bring the donkey in. And Jesus ride through the auditorium. And I see Jesus in a midair flip out there in the foyer. Jesus is being bucked off. Jimmy Fuller, and he was a karate guy. And he just goes into a full flip. And I thought to myself, we're going to bring that. It really wasn't a donkey. Now, this wasn't a donkey. This is a jackass. There's a difference in a donkey and a jackass. It's a giant jack. That's what you call them. I mean, donkey, am I right, aren't I, Sheriff? Now, somebody will email and said, I just like saying that. I'm telling you, that's the name of it. It's got big old long ears. And as soon as it came in here, it went like this. And it was an illustration to me. Boy, don't we live like that? Think about this for a minute. Jesus is willing to ride a stubborn animal unto death. And you know why? You know why I think he used a donkey? Because he was coming to save a stubborn people. In fact, Jesus even said the ones that were religious were stiff-necked. Still are. Still amazes me. Charles, it still amazes me. John Paul, you and I have talked about this over the years. The only type of person that Jesus didn't put in the 12 disciples was a professional preacher. And God, I know why. He didn't want to fool with them for 3 years. Because guess what the preacher would have been doing? If he had a rabbi on there, let me tell you, Earl, the rabbi wouldn't have untied the donkey because he'd want to know if he was predestined to do it or was it by his free will. The disciples just go do what Jesus asked them to do. They bring in the donkey back. Why? He's going to ride in on a stubborn animal. Now, how many of y'all are stubborn about your moment? My moment. Now, folks, I just want to give us a warning. We are way too caught up in our moments. How many of y'all want to hold on to moments? Certain good times, you just want to hold on to them. Yeah, me too. How many of y'all have ever done this? You've gone somewhere and the vacation was awesome. It's great. It's wonderful. It's the greatest 4 days of your life and just had a great time. How many of y'all ever went back? Huh? Did you go back? How many of y'all ever went back? Same place. What was it like second time? Not. Why? Because you were trying to recreate a moment that was only a moment. It was that moment. It was for that time. See, that's what's so cool. We never have the same service twice because guess what? There'll never be this exact group ever gathered again in human history. But there will always be this exact God. So they get caught in the moment here. You know, I mean, it's triumphant. Now, I just want to give you all y'all a heads up. Be careful with crowds that cheer and know little. Be careful with crowds that cheer and know little. They got caught up in the action. The crowd. Have y'all ever seen anybody get caught up in the crowd and lose their sense and their reasoning? Have y'all ever seen anything be more hype than it was in reality? I still think about the national championship game this year, football. You know, Notre Dame had the press behind them. You know, oh, how wonderful. They were 12-0. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, they had a linebacker that just, you know, unbelievable. Had all, you know, they've made it. They're back again. They got crushed. They came out on the field with hype, and Alabama came out on the field with a plan. Alabama came like Jesus. They said, we're coming here to win a championship. Notre Dame was visiting. They were glad they made it to the game. Alabama came to be the game. True or false? I mean, it's an attitude. I looked at Nick Saban. He walked onto the field knowing he was going to win. I looked at Coach Weasel over there. He's glad to be there. Thought his boys had done a good job, and he's hoping things were going to work out. Now, I want you to know Jesus Christ came knowing what was going to go on in that hour, and he came in spite of what we said. Now, here's what I want you to know. Are we sometimes so caught up in our moment that we can't hear his hour? Are our ears and our eyes and our lives so filled with our moment that we can't hear his hour? I've come that you might have life, Jesus keeps telling us to us. And we say, wait a minute, Lord. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all are more excited that it's the Holy Week, that we're going to celebrate the triumph and grace of God? Or are you more focused on, we get to go to spring break next week? How many of y'all are more focused on seafood in Florida than you are the bread and the wine? How many of you more excited about being out of school than you are being out of sin? You see, we get so caught up in our moment, we forget to hear his hour. And his hour is always there. That's what I love about Jesus. He was willing to go. He was willing to go. No matter what anybody said, he was going to go. The disciples did well. They did exactly as he said. And he came in riding on a donkey, on a colt, on a fold of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks before him. And Jesus sat on it. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. That's why we call it Palm Sunday, because most of the trees there aren't maples. They are palm. And they laid these palm branches in front of Jesus. He was coming in. They thought he was going to be a king, but they wanted him to be a king, listen to me, according to their definition. Aren't we like that? Well, Jesus, if you were really God, you'd do this for me. You know how many times I've heard that? Well, if God was God, I'd never get sick. Really? Y'all ever read the book? You know why people get sick? Number one reason? Human. Humans get sick. All of us do. I'm still amazed. I come out of hospital rooms with people tore up, broken down, going crazy. Their 95-year-old grandparent or their 95-year-old parent just died. And they come out and look at me and go, Pastor, how could this happen? 95 years is my leading reason. Because guess what? We don't believe it's going to happen. My dad's got the greatest attitude of it all. He kept coming by to see me for a few months there, and I said, Pops, is everything all right? He said, no, son, everything's all right. I guess it is. He said, Lord, have mercy. I'm 82 years old. I'm living in the bonus. It could happen anytime. He understands that his moments are winding down and the hour of Jesus comes. But you know what? In a real way, I looked at him. I said, Pops, I'm probably living in the bonus too, knowing how I've lived. He said, you've been living in the bonus for a long time. But hold on. Not just living in the bonus. I'm living in the blessing of the hour. How many of y'all understand that there's the hour of God that'll set a greater tone than the moments of man? Because this is what I found. All we are is moments. There was a song kind of like that written by Kansas, If You Were a Rock and Roller. Some of y'all remember it. Joey, you remember it. All we are is dust in the wind. But here's the thing.
Come on.
I like him. When we connect with God, when his hour becomes the leader of our moments, we're not just dust in the wind. We're blessed dust in the wind. and we're dust that leaves a testimony. But we're not here for long. Is everybody cool with that? I hate to shock you with that, but I want to wake you up to that. I know you young people are like me when I was younger. It'd be a long time before that happens to me. Really? I wouldn't believe this. Everybody's got a different moment. We all graduate about the same time. And other than that, we do things at different times, don't we? But we all have an hour. And Jesus was willing to complete his hour. And so the Holy Week is this. The hour has come. And as the hour comes, I want you to say, how have I received the hour in me? And here's the warning. Listen, let's not get so caught up in our moments that we miss his hour. And it's easy to do. I wish I would. I look back on my moments, and there's some moments I just wanted to hold on to. Make sense? I used to always hate it when summer was over. I just, God, why can't it be summer here? And he said, it is summer. You have to go to Florida. Summer all year round. You have to go to Central America. It's summer all year round. But I have mudslides and rainy season there. There's always something in the moment. There's no place perfect but what? Heaven. I want to hold on to a moment. I kind of like seasons now. How many of y'all like seasons? I do. I like seasons. I like fall. Fall smells good. Winter, I don't like it, but we need it. You know why? It reminds us there is death. It reminds us there aren't always leaves, and there aren't always flowers, and the grass is not green unless you got artificial turf. And there's an awakening of spring. Moments, but the hour calls. You know what Jesus did? He walked through that valley on the donkey, and they laid those palm branches down, and the cloaks went before him, and he was going to do what God had instructed him to do because he loved the Father more than anything else. And he stayed in God's plan in spite of the crowd. The crowds that went ahead of him, those that followed, shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, I hear the crowds in America. We're a crowd people. Crowds. I've heard stadium crowds. I've heard parade crowds. I've heard religious crowds. And you know what I love about Jesus, man? He never gets captured by the crowd. Now, we like what? Crowds. Cameras. Camera lights. What? Action. We're enamored with Hollywood and red carpet. I mean, Hollywood's even got a show for 4 hours to commend themselves on all the stuff they've done all year. Did they not get enough screen time? But they love the what? Screen. And the only reason they can love the screen is because we watching them on the screen. Do y'all realize there's even magazines at the grocery store that talk more about the people that are on the screens? So you can read them and be more enamored with people that are on the what? Screens. There's people like they know celebrities. Nobody knows celebrities, but celebrities. But we're enamored with crowds. You know, people go, what do you think it was a good service? I said, I don't know. I ask pastors all the time. They go, there were a lot of people there. I said, there were a lot of people there on the day Jesus got crucified. Did anybody walk away with him? Not did we gather, did we follow? And note this on Holy Week. There's people that'll gather. They'll throw the branches down. They'll throw the cloaks out. They'll sing, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. My good Jewish friends, guess what they thought was happening this week? We have a revolutionary savior, a political leader. He is going to throw Rome out of our lives and bring us into the great nation that we should be. They believed in Jewish exceptionalism. Hosanna. Anybody know what the word Hosanna means? It's one you hear around church people. Most church people don't know what it means. Anybody know what it means? Save us. Save us now. They were yelling for the hour, not realizing what the hour would bring. How can a dead Savior save us? We'll see. Right now, he's living and they shout. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the what? Lord. So I just wanted to warn you, as we walk through these moments, don't get caught in a crowd. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." That crowd still says he's a prophet from Galilee. But we say, that man riding on a donkey, that man is the Son of Man. That man is fully God and fully man. That man is Jesus the Christ, crucified and resurrected. That man is our Savior, our Lord, our King, our way, our truth, and our life. That's different, isn't it, than just a prophet coming through town? Here's what's interesting. We'll end on this as we journey through the week. As the moments yield themselves to the hour. Many in the crowd shouted in the minutes, "Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." A lot of them shouted, but some of them followed. So I'm going to ask you a question. Are you going to be a shouter? Are you going to be a follower? Are you going to be a follower of the shouts? What do you think is the key operation there? Follower. I think Jesus was more impressed with the two guys that went and stole the donkeys, because they did what he said. Now, please, nobody go out and get arrested. This week, if you go to Walmart and take something off the shelf and say the Lord has need of it, the sheriff will say that he has need for you. It better be the Lord. And he's already come to town once. And so, Sheriff, if there are any donkey thefts this week, it's that would not be so. Because Jesus is not coming back on a donkey. Now note what it said. He came in riding gently on a donkey. That's for salvation. When he comes back again, he does not return as gentle Savior. He returns as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and Supreme Judge. It will not be the bawl of the donkey that you hear in town. You know, that ain't coming this time. You're going to hear the of the stallion. The stallion. The white horse. The horse the king rides. And Jesus will be king. And guess what every king is going to realize when Jesus shows up as king? They were a moment. Guess what every president's going to realize? They had term limits. Guess what you and I are going to realize? We had a term limit. A term moment. But we all had an hour. And I hope at your hour and my hour, and Leon and all of our hours, guess what? We will find the hour of Jesus in all of us. I tell you this not to scare you. I tell you because it's the truth. Our hour comes. And Jesus said, "It's not my hour, mama." And how many times did people try to push Jesus into his hour? Remember the disciples, they'd get scared. They'd get real terrified. Somebody was going to get them. And they'd be over at Jesus. "Hey, Jesus, can you do that blind thing again? Help that blind man see over there. They'll know you're the Lord." And Jesus would go, "My hour's not yet come." They were at a festival one time. "Jesus, if you just do a miracle, everybody will settle down." And guess what Jesus said? "My hour's not what? Yet come." And then Jesus says weird things, man. Weird. He heals the blind guy. It's the one where Jesus has to give him the double touch. There in the garden, kind of seeing trees, kind of blurry. Didn't get 20/20 on the first hit. And Jesus touches him again. He clears up. And the guy's overwhelmed that he can see. And these are the words of Jesus. "Greater things than this you will see," because he's heading to Jerusalem. How many of you are beginning to embrace? There's no way greater hour than when Jesus died for our sin. And there's no greater moment than when he rose from the grave. Now check this out. And that changed everything. All of human history. Even those that didn't want to believe in Jesus had been marked by Jesus. Death and resurrection. Back when I was in school, 1982 of our Lord, A.D. After what? After death. Y'all remember this in history class? B.C. How many of y'all remember that in history class? We used to date it. What, Donna? B.C. What was that? That God got into history even with those who tried to shut him out. So here's three things I want you to know. Our moments are just that, moments. So enjoy them. His hour is available. Receive it. And the third thing is this. Be confident that when your time comes, you're in his hour. Isn't that neat? When I die, I'm going to die one day. I'll probably go before Elizabeth. I'm going to look down on her because she'll be wealthy with a new husband. I'm going to tell her, you spend that money I gave you. I'm going to be mad when you get up here. I'm going to let the Lord let me step outside the gate for about 5 minutes before you walk through. No, but watch this. In that moment, she'll know that I'm in his hour. If her moment comes first, the only consolation I'll have is she's in his hour. Be better that we just both go at the same time. That way I can continue to pester her in heaven. We look at the gate, she goes, what are you doing here? The Lord brought me with you so that you would never be without me. She said, I was waiting for some rest. To be at peace in that hour, amen? Hey, it's real stuff, guys. Any questions? I want to challenge you, man. Follow the Holy Week this week. Hey, lunchtime, we got Holy Week Bible studies. The hour has come. Boom, boom, boom. Monday through Friday. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay? And I know y'all are going, well, you know, Pastor Steve, you understand we got spring break. I understand. But also understand that you're followers of Jesus Christ. And let's try something really radical. What if we put his hour before our moments? I wonder what life would look like. Spring break ain't changed. Same airbrush t-shirts. Same saltwater taffy. Probably it's been left over from 5 spring breaks ago. Same stuff. Only thing that's changed is the suntan lotion. When I used to go, it was real, suntan oil. Fry you, give you skin cancer. And now it has a bunch of sunblock in this, and we have no idea what that's going to do. Just wait another 50 years when people start growing ears out of the top of their head like that. I'm going to look at Elizabeth. I said, that was 23 SPF right there is what caused that mutation. Have y'all noticed that every dilemma, Pastor Jim, is funny, isn't it? Everything we try to solve leads to a new dilemma. Everything we try to solve. Another drug pill last night. Sleeping pill I saw a commercial of. Said, if you can't get to sleep at midnight, take this. Side effect, you may want to jump out of the window. I think I'd just count sheep. So here's what I'm trying to tell you guys. Listen. Let your moment be affected by his hour, okay? Well, let's stand together. Lord, you're bringing us to you. Listen, he's bringing us to him. We've already had people get saved this morning. I'm more than delighted than that because it's God's work. Listen, today, know his hour. It could be your greatest Easter. Next Sunday, guess what? You celebrate Easter by coming out of those baptismal waters knowing that he is the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and your hour has been secured. Your moments are no longer limited. Because I'm going to line it up real quick. I'm going to tell you the truth. Without him, all you have is your moments. So make them good. In fact, check this out. Without Jesus Christ in your life, you're as close to heaven as you'll ever be. So live it up. See, I'm on the other side of that. I'm as close to hell as I'll ever be. Because as soon as this is over, it's heaven's glory. And I don't know about y'all. I mean, this is a difficult place to live, but there's enjoyable moments here. How many of y'all have enjoyable moments? Yeah, I do. I love it. There's all kinds of moments. And this week is the moment realizing that God has saved us. God has come to us. And today, if you need to receive grace, here's the way it works. How many of y'all realize that we've all blown it? I know you think good people go to heaven. And if you do think that, here's the problem. Nobody's good. We've all broke the Ten Commandments. Y'all understand that? We've all broke the Ten Commandments. Not some of us, all of us. Because the Ten Commandments have got 10, not 3. Down south, to be good, it's 3 commandments. Don't smoke, chew, or do. That's it. It's a 3-commandment system. God's commandments are, we've broke them and we need the grace of Jesus Christ in our life. So today, guess what? Right now, just start praying. Ask Jesus, repent of your sins. Say, Jesus, guess what? I need to be saved. I feel you. I feel you talking to me, Lord. I feel you, Spirit. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Save me. I want, watch this. This is repent. I'm sorry for the way I've been living, and I want to invite you into my life. Now, some of you look at me and say, Ayers, what's going to happen to me if I receive Jesus Christ in my life? I say, well, your sins are going to be forgiven, and you're going to end up in heaven. Well, do I got to quit doing this, this, and that? I don't give you a list. I don't give you a list for this reason. The God that can take you from death to life can handle your momentary issues. I get so tired of preachers trying to tell everybody how to live. You ought to look at them and know that they don't know much about it. God's the one that's risen from the dead, not a preacher. Follow Jesus. And the more you follow Jesus, the more his hour will live in your moments. Did I get that out right? Gerald, did I get that out right? The more you follow Jesus, the more his hour will live out in your moments. Elizabeth and I have been married a long time now, especially in this moment of history. And people ask us, how do you stay married that long? I say, well, Jesus has overridden our stupid moments. Wouldn't you agree? His hour has been stronger than our moments. And so that's what you're really asking. Jesus, will you bring your hour into my moments? Will you forgive me of all my sin? A lot of you have done that. And guess what? One day when you take your last breath, I'm going to have all kinds of good things to say at your funeral. And somebody's going to have some good things to say at my funeral. Jesus. That's all you can say. But guess what? If Jesus Christ hadn't come into Jerusalem, we wouldn't have a church, we wouldn't have each other, and I wouldn't have anything to say. In fact, today I'd be at the lake. Probably trying to wake up. Because every moment would just be a moment. But with Jesus, every moment is leading to a moment where we shall reign together in heaven. That's real. Wes, it's nice to have Jesus when we have some surprising moments in our young adult experience, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Wasn't it nice to have you knew you had a bunch of people praying for you this week?
Yes, sir.
And God's healing you, man. Amen. It's that real. Gets real when it gets there. Watch this. I bet I made a lot more sense than I made a few years ago to you, didn't I? Because our youngins around here, you know, Pastor Steve, when are you going to stop talking about being saved? Never. They said, well, I already know that. I said, no, you don't. You got a palm branch in your ear. It's more than saying the words. It's receiving the grace. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I receive you. You'll live, folks. If you haven't been baptized, I would strongly suggest, wouldn't you, Pastor Keith, that next Sunday is one of the most excellent Sundays to get baptized in. If you're a male like me that has a hard time remembering events, I suggest you get baptized on Easter. I don't know how you missed that. Because then your wife can look at you and say, it's Easter. You got baptized on Easter. That's right. Great day of celebration to be baptized on the day of resurrection. On the resurrection Sunday to declare new life. That's a great day to be baptized. If you haven't been baptized, Pastor Jamie wants to talk to you. I want to talk to you. Pastor Mark won't talk to you. Just talk to somebody and we'll get up here and we'll get that taken up for you, okay? I hope we see as many people as possible baptized on Sunday. I hope that's the service. I'm all cool with that. If you're not cool with that, shame on you. I'm cool with this being Sunday service. And the Lord has risen from the grave. And y'all sing some cool, you know, get it up, going, you know, he's out of the box kind of song. And then we have baptisms for an hour. And then second service is, he's alive! And y'all, boom, get a song. And we have baptisms for an hour. And then a third service, he's still alive. And we sing another song and we have baptisms way on into the afternoon. We baptize out of that 11 o'clock service and it ends somewhere about 5 or 6 o'clock. And all we see through the glass is Pastor Jamie floating just floating like a big old catfish that's giving it up on top, like just floating. And we have to drag him out where he's passed out. In the right, he's passed out, Ben. You'll have to drag him out. How many of y'all want to see so many people baptized that Jamie has to go on vacation for 2 weeks to just recover physically? That can happen. That's what I'm talking about. Well, let's pray. Some of y'all need to be baptized, doesn't it? You know who I'm talking to. It's you. So, well, I'm glad he's talking to everybody else. I'm talking to you. I'm glad they need to be saved. No, you need to be saved. Just stay on you. You'll be all right. Here's a good bumper sticker. Focus on your own family. It's healthy. Take care of what God's put in front of you. You do that and I do that and a bunch of us do that. We call that a better world. So take care. Let's pray. Lord, bring us to the altar. Bring us to grace. Bring us to baptism. Bring us to a week that we've never had. So Lord, when we get scared, give us strength to walk through fear. When we doubt, give us belief. When we step aside, gently bring us back in. When we don't think you're real, show yourself. Lord, bring us to this altar to be forgiven, to be loved, to be renewed, to be rekindled, to be remotivated, to be changed by your grace. So in the name of Jesus, whoever repents of their sin and asks Jesus to come in their life, they will be saved. Make it today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Guys, as you come, may the grace of God just touch you and bless you. This altar is open right now. Come and pray. Pastor Jamie, if you'll come right here where they can see you, brother. Dr. Ward's right up here, man. Talk to him about baptism. Come and let's worship God in a real way. Come on. Come on, church. Come on. Come on.